true, Anthony hasn't said much, but he seems like a nice enough man. Elaine is growing more tense, her smile more forced, as she attempts to keep the mood light. I can see her starting to glance at Anthony, her eyes imploring him. As the waitstaff clear the plates after our main courses, I can see all the major players getting ready for their speeches. Anthony takes an index card from his inner pocket. As they test the microphone, I tug my chair a little closer to Josh, and he drops one arm over my shoulders. I lean back into him. There's a speech from the best man and Mindy's maid of honor. Her father makes a speech welcoming Patrick to the family, and I smile at the sincere ring in his voice. He talks about his pleasure in gaining a son. Josh hugs me closer, and I let him. Anthony takes the podium and looks at his index card with an expression bordering on distaste. He leans down to the microphone. Elaine wrote me some suggestions, but I think I'll wing it. His voice is slow, deliberate. With a pinch of sarcasm, I'm beginning to understand is hereditary among the Templeman males. A laugh scatters through the room, and Josh sits up straighter. I don't need to look to know he's frowning. I've always expected great things of my son. Anthony holds the edges of the podium and looks at the crowd. His choice of words also implies that he has only one son. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it. And he hasn't disappointed me. Not once. Never have I gotten the call every parent dreads. The, "Hey, Dad, I'm stuck in Mexico" call? Never got that from Patrick. Bigger laughs from the crowd now. Not from me either, Josh mutters into my ear. He graduated in the top 5% of his class. It's been a privilege watching him grow into the man you see here, Anthony intones. His range of experience has gone from strength to strength, and he's well respected by his peers. I can't detect any particular emotion in his voice, but he does look at Patrick for a fraction too long. I must say, the day he graduated med school, I could see myself in Patrick. And it was a relief, knowing we'd continue the medical dynasty. Behind my ear, I hear Josh draw in a sharp breath. His arm feels increasingly vice-like around my shoulders. Anthony lifts his glass. But I believe you're only as strong as the person you choose to live your life with, and today by marrying Melinda. He's made me a proud father yet again. And Mindy, might I say, you've chosen an outstanding Templeman to marry. Mindy, welcome to our family. We raise our glasses, but Josh does not. I look over my shoulder and see two people, heads together, whispering and watching us. Mindy's mother looks at Josh with raw pity. Mindy and Patrick cut the cake and feed each other a square. I've been looking forward to some cake for most of the day, and I'm not disappointed. A huge wedge of something chocolate and heavy is placed in front of me. Great speech. Thanks for that little remark, Josh tells his father. It was a joke. Anthony smiles at Elaine, but she's not pleased. Hilarious. Her glare turns glacial. I know when a subject change is in order. This cake looks like death by chocolate. I hope it's not too naughty. You would be amazed by the damage to arteries caused by high-fat diets, Anthony pipes up. Would you say the occasional treat is okay? I hope so. I'm forking the cake into my mouth. Ideally, no. Saturated fat, trans fats, once they go into your arteries, they aren't coming out. Unless you have a heart attack and someone like Elaine has to fix you. He's a little strict with himself, Elaine assures me as I drop my fork with a clatter and press my hands to my chest. Treats are okay. They're better than okay. She asked my opinion, Anthony points out gravely, and I gave it. I notice he's got no cake in front of him. I'm reminded of the all-staff meeting. Josh didn't eat any cake then either. I glance sideways, and to my surprise, Josh picks up his fork and begins eating cake too. It's a great, big, giant fuck you to his dad. Over and over, we fork cake into our greedy faces until Anthony's forehead pinches in distaste, clearly unused to having his sage advice ignored.
Self-indulgence is a tricky thing. It can be hard to get yourself back on track once you begin indulging trivial little impulses.
Anthony is not talking about cake. Josh drops his fork with a clatter. Elaine looks wretched.
Anthony, please, leave him alone.
Come with me, I tell him. And to my mild surprise, he rises obediently and walks with me to the shadowed edge of the empty dance floor. Can you please explain what's going on? This tension is excruciating. I'm sorry, but your dad is being a dick. Is he always like this?
He jams a hand into his hair. Like father, like son.
No, you're not like this. He's being bitchy and your mom is upset. His speech was so weird. Every single time I feel protective of Josh, the realization pings me right in the solar plexus. I take his hand, which is folded into a fist, and smooth my hand over the knuckles. He watches my fingers. Dinner's over. We've gotten through it. That's all I care about. But why does it feel like all eyes are on you? It seems like everyone in this room is looking at you, wondering if you're coping okay. It's like, hang in there, sport.
I think they'll assume I'm not suffering too badly.
He loops a hand around my waist, and the glow of his flattery hits my bloodstream, along with probably 2,000 premium cake calories. They're wrong. No one makes you suffer like I do. I receive a smile for my cleverness. Are you okay? Please tell me about this big scandal that they're all whispering about. I cannot fathom that you deciding to not be a doctor could cause such a fuss. It's rare to see Josh procrastinate, but he does now.
It's a long story. Bathroom first.
If you climb out the window, I'm going to be really mad.
I'll be back, I promise. I'll tell you the whole sorry tale. Will you be okay for a minute?
I've had to make friends with half the people in this room, remember? I'm sure I'll find someone to hang out with. I watch him go and strike the most casual pose I can manage. I haven't actually spoken to Mindy yet. Outside, she was always being moved around by the photographers, but she'd smiled at me, and I have the impression that she is nice. She's nearby, speaking animatedly to an older couple. When they move away, I smile and wave tentatively. I feel bad she has to have strangers at her wedding.
Hello, Mindy. I'm Lucy. I'm Joshua's, plus one. Thank you so much for having me here. The ceremony was lovely, and I love your dress.
Nice to meet you. I've been dying to. She smiles broadly, her dark eyes lit with undisguised interest as she looks me over.
You're the girl who's melted the Iceman.
Oh, I don't know about melted.
Iceman?
I'm at my articulate best. You know, Josh and I dated for a year. She waves her hand quickly as if it were nothing.
What? No.
My stomach folds in half, and in half again. She puts one hand to her hair and smooths the already perfect style. It's blonde. She's tall, tan, and brown-eyed. She's tall blondie. My mouth is probably a perfect circle. I am speechless. It is all dropping into place. How humiliating would it be to go alone to your ex-girlfriend's wedding? Especially when she's marrying your brother.
How long ago did you meet Patrick?
I am trying to keep my voice modulated. I sound like my car's GPS. I'd known him while dating Josh, of course. When all that business with Josh's work going through the merger, I started talking to Patrick to try to understand why Josh was being so distant. He isn't much of a talker, as you know. I look at all the strangers who have been staring at Josh all night. They've been wondering how he's coping with seeing this beautiful woman marry his brother.
A year.
They would have definitely slept together. This willowy, immaculate blonde has lain in his bed, kissed his mouth.
I swallow acid. Patrick and I just clicked. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. We only got engaged 6 months ago. I still feel bad about it, but Josh and I were not a good fit. I found his moods to be scary sometimes. I still hardly know what to talk to him about. I'm sorry, I'm being rude. Please don't tell him I said that. I feel like I'm about to burst into tears, and Mindy watches me with growing alarm. I'm sorry, Lucy. I thought he would have told you. He's so happy with you. I never would have imagined he'd be so completely smitten. He never was with me. I suppose it does make sense. Intense men like him usually fall pretty hard, when they eventually do. I force myself to smile, but it's not convincing. I can't be responsible for ruining Mindy's happy wedding buzz, but inside I'm breaking. How could I have been so stupid to think he was walking me around, showing me off for nothing? I'm moral support while he attends his ex-girlfriend's wedding. If that isn't the definition of a rent-a-date, I don't know what is. Oh, Lucy, sorry to upset you, especially if you two are early days. But Josh is yours. I manage a weak laugh. He's really not. Patrick is especially surprised. What did he say? Something like, I've never seen Josh look like he has a heart. He has a heart. A self-serving heart, but a heart nonetheless. A wedding planner type person indicates to Mindy, and she waves. His heart is all yours, Mindy says and pats my arm. I'll be tossing the bouquet now. I'll aim right for you. She weaves through her guests, as poised and gorgeous as I'll never be. Arms slide around me from behind. A kiss on the back of my neck, diluted by my hair. The effect is still so potent I have to gulp. The DJ has begun calling the single ladies onto the dance floor. The freakout is building in my gut. My palms sweat. I need to get out. Hi. Where's all your new friends? He begins to push me into the growing group of contenders. No, Josh, I can't. People are watching us. I'm on the knife edge of needing to make a scene, but knowing I can't. The tears and panic are welling up inside me. Usually perceptive, he doesn't see them this time. Where's your competitive spirit? Josh gives me one last firm push, and I'm propelled into a ragtag bunch of females, ranging from a lisping flower girl to a woman in her early 50s who seems to be doing hamstring stretches. Everyone looks at the bouquet. It's lovely. We all want it. I see Josh's mom on the sidelines. She smiles at me, and then it fades, concern filling her eyes. Who knows what my face looks like? Mindy catches my eye, and I can see her genuine regret that she has upset me. Josh repositions for a better view, and he and his mother swap glances. She gestures to him. He bends his head, and she tells him something. He looks at me sharply. It's all too much. Here we go! Mindy turns her back on us and mimes doing some practice swings. The bouquet is a pink lily confection. I hardly register the slap of the flowers against my chest. They drop down into the waiting arms of the flower girl, who screams in delight. The entire audience is shaking their heads and laughing at my lack of coordination. Everyone turns to the person next to them and says, "She could have caught that." I'm so disappointed in not catching them. The freakout is triggered in full. I politely laugh and manage to walk slowly from the other end of the dance floor, weaving through the spectators. Now I'm running. I need to get out of this room. I know he'll be coming after me, so instead of choosing the most obvious sanctuary, the ladies' room, I go down the waitstaff passageway and find myself in the garden beside the hotel. A few boys in white shirts and ties are smoking and fiddling with their cell phones. They look at me with bored expressions. I pick up my pace until I'm trotting, running, the spikes of my heels barely touching the ground. I want to run until I reach the water. I want to leap into a rowboat and sail to a deserted island. Only then will I be able to face up to it. I have feelings for Joshua Templeman. irreversible, stupid, and ill-advised feelings. Why else would this hurt so much? Why did everything in me ache to wrap my arms around the wedding bouquet and see him smile? I dither along the water's edge. The footsteps approaching come too fast. I bite back a swell of impatience and open my mouth to give him a piece of my mind. Then I see it's Joshua's mother. Chapter 24. "Oh, hi," I manage to say. "Just getting some air." Elaine looks at me and opens her purse and finds her pack of Kleenex. I'm confused by it until I press it to my eye and it comes away wet. We stand, looking at the water glittering darkly under the fading sunset sky. I'm too upset to comprehend I'm about to unload to his mother. Any sympathetic ear at this point will do me. It's not like I'll ever see her again. He never told me about Mindy. She is aggrieved and frowns back across the lawns. He should have. You shouldn't have found out this way. It all makes so much sense. I can't believe I've been so stupid. The way he's been acting has been pretty unbelievable.
Like he's in love with you?
Yes. My voice breaks a little. He told me once he's a good actor. I can't believe this. She says nothing and puts her hand on my shoulder. Every single glimmer of foolish hope feels extinguished in this moment.
I don't think he's been playing a game.
Elaine's mouth twists. The word game only crystallizes further the hurt in my gut. Oh, I'm sorry, but you have no idea how good at games he is. Every day of our working relationship, Monday to Friday. This has got to be the first time he's played me on the weekend, though. Elaine looks past me, and I can see Josh's silhouette pacing along the side of the building in agitation. She shakes her head and he stops.
Why did you come today?
She is genuinely curious. I owed him a favor. He told me I was coming along for moral support. I didn't know why, but I came anyway. I thought it was something to do with him dropping out of medicine. And now I find out his ex-girlfriend is marrying his brother. I'm in a soap opera right now. Elaine steadies me with a hand on my elbow. When she speaks, she's got a fond smile teasing at the edge of her lips. I speak to him on Sundays, and I've known you for as long as he's known you. A beautiful girl. Bluest eyes, reddest lips, blackest hair. He describes you like a fairy tale character. He's never quite decided on princess or villain. I put my hands into my hair and make two fists. Villain. I feel like the world's biggest idiot to even believe for one day he could be so... I can't finish. You're the girl he calls Shortcake. When I first heard your nickname, I knew. I will tell you now, he's never looked at anyone the way he looks at you. I am starting to feel irritated with this lovely woman. It's pretty clear she's so biased I can no longer use her as a sounding board. She cannot believe her son would do anything so hurtful. I open my mouth, but she silences me firmly. He dated Mindy. I'm so glad to have her for a daughter-in-law. Sweet as pie. Cinderella hasn't got anything on Mindy. She's lovely. She's not my issue. But she never challenged Josh. You have since the first day you met him. You make him angry. You've never been scared of him. You've taken the time to try to understand him, just to get the upper hand in your little office skirmishes. You notice him. I've tried not to. Neither Josh nor his father are easy men. Some men are a delight. Patrick, for example. Reasonable. Calm, ready with a smile. Josh has a nickname for him, too. Mr. Nice Guy. It's true, he is. It takes a strong woman to love someone like Josh. And I think it's you. Patrick's an open book. Josh is a safety deposit box. But he's worth it. You won't believe me, and I can't blame you tonight, but so is his father. Elaine waves Josh over, and he begins striding toward us. Please go easy on him.
You could have caught the bouquet, she admonishes me. If you'd put your arms out a little. I couldn't. She kisses my cheek and hugs me with such kind familiarity I close my eyes. You will one day. If you decide to stay, we're having a family breakfast at 10 a.m. in the restaurant. I'd really love to see you both. She walks back down the path where she intercepts Josh. They begin urgently conferring. Great. She's giving the enemy a warning of what he's in for. I am so tired of being in this place, by this water, under this. I go and sit on a low concrete bench and try to cram my heart back into my chest. Even his mother thought Josh was in love. You found out about the Mindy thing. In the 20 yards it took for him to get to me, he's no doubt framed his argument. Yep, well done. You sure fooled me. Fooled you. He sits beside me and reaches for my hand, but I pull away. Cut the shit. I know you've been parading me around in front of Mindy and her family. Maybe you should have hired someone better looking than me. Do you seriously believe that's why you're here? He has the audacity to look shaken. Imagine being in my position. I take you to my ex-boyfriend's wedding, and I'm all over you like a rash. I make you feel special, important. I make you feel beautiful. There's a tremor in my voice. And then you find out, and suddenly you're left wondering if it was real. You being here has nothing to do with Mindy, at all. But she's the tall blondie you broke up with after the merger, right? She's the one we talked about in bed this morning? Your big old heartbreak? Why didn't you just tell me this morning? I put my hands over my face and lean my elbows on my knees. Josh turns sideways in his seat. We were in bed, and you were just starting to look at me like you didn't hate me. And she's not my heartbreak. I cut him off. I could handle being a rent-a-date, but you really should have been clear with me up front. That was a dick move, and frankly, I'm mad at myself for not expecting you'd do something like this. Josh's urgency is growing. He puts his hand on my shoulder and turns me gently toward him. We stare into each other's eyes. I wanted you here because I always want you with me. I don't care that she's just married Patrick. It's ancient history to me. How could I tell you this morning and ruin the moment? I knew how you'd react. Just like this. You're damn right I'm reacting like this. Like a teary, fire-breathing dragon. Didn't I specifically ask you if there was any touchy subject I needed to know about, so I'd be forewarned? You could have told me back in the office, days ago. Not now. You would never have agreed to come under those circumstances, had you known. You would have refused to believe this weekend could be anything more than an act. Whatever your reaction, it wouldn't have been good. I grudgingly admit to myself that he's probably right. Even if he had managed to get me to come, I probably would have invented a character, and I definitely would have worn false eyelashes. He touches a fingertip to my wrist. I've had my focus on other things, believe it or not. Mom's flower arrangements, Dad's mood, your blood sugar. Telling you about this just faded away to the edges. He looks across the water and pulls his tie loose. Mindy is a nice person. But I didn't bring you here to show her how well I've moved on. I don't care what she thinks. I don't believe you can be so cool about this situation. I can't detect any emotion in his eyes at all as he casts his eyes back across the water, contemplating. She was never going to be my wife, put it that way. We were wrong for each other. Hearing his voice say my wife makes me go too still. Eyes frozen and unblinking, pupils dilated to black coins. Terror and panic and possession torches my throat dry. I don't want to examine why I feel this way. I'd rather jump in the water and start swimming. He looks at me sideways, his face tense. Now that I've promised that you're not here as some part of an elaborate revenge scenario, can you tell me the real reason this bothers you so much? Other than my lie by omission and people staring at us? People that you never have to see again? This is skating way too close to my tangled up new feelings. I try for several long moments to come up with an answer that sounds even halfway credible. But when I can't, I get to my feet and walk so fast back to the hotel he has to lengthen his stride to keep up. Wait. I'm getting a bus home. I try to close the elevator door on him, but he shoulders in easily. I press the button for our floor and dig for my phone to look up a bus schedule. I have no idea what time it is. I have several missed calls. Josh tries to speak, but I put my hand up until he crosses his arms, exasperated. I click through them distractedly. Danny has been trying to get a hold of me a couple of times throughout the afternoon. I have a few texts along the lines of, "Do you have a font preference? I'll choose then. Could you call me back when you can?" The elevator bings. Josh looks like he's 1 second away from going stark raving insane. I know the feeling. "Leave me alone," I tell him with as much dignity as I can, and walk to the far end of the corridor, where a pair of armchairs are arranged beside a bay window. During the day, this would be a nice spot to sit with a book. In the evening, as the last peach glows of sun leave the sky, it's the perfect place to fume. I sit down and dial a local bus company. A late-night express is leaving at 7:15, and they are already stopping by the hotel to pick up someone else. The gods are smiling upon me. Going back to the room will mean having to finish things with Josh, and I am burned out. A husk. I have nothing left. I need to procrastinate. Danny answers on the second ring. "Hi," he says, tone a little stiff. Nothing more annoying than an uncontactable client, I imagine. Especially one you're doing a favor for. "Hi, sorry I've been out of touch. I've been at a wedding and my phone is on silent." "It's okay. I just finished." "Thank you so much. Did it all go okay?" "Yep, for the most part. I'm at home now, checking it on my iPad, flipping through the pages. The formatting looks good." "Whose wedding is it?" "The brother of a complete asshole." "You're with Joshua." "How'd you guess?" "I had a feeling." He laughs. "Don't worry. Your secrets are all safe with me." "I hope so." I couldn't care less at this point. It would serve me right to be humiliated in the halls of B&G. "When are you back? I'd like to show you the final product." "Tomorrow at some point. I'll call you when I'm back in town and I can meet you." "If you come over on Monday evening, it would work for me. I've kept the spreadsheet that you wanted. It breaks down the time it took, along with what I think costs would be by a designer in a usual commercial setting, but also a salaried staff member." "I'm impressed. Maybe I should bring you a thank you pizza." "Yes, please." Danny's voice drops a cheeky half octave. "So, what did you wear to this wedding?" "A blue dress." I see Josh's reflection over me in the window and jump in fright. He takes the phone out of my hand and looks at the caller ID. "It's Joshua. Don't call her again. Yes, I'm serious." He hangs it up and slides it into his pocket. "Hey, give it back." "No fucking chance." "He's who you had to sneak off and call?" The look in his eyes is getting sharper, blacker. "It's work-related." He tugs on my hands to make me stand up. A door opens near us, too close to other rooms to indulge in one of our signature yelling matches. We both purse our lips and march into our room. I try not to slam the door. "Well?" Josh crosses his arms. "It was work-related." "Sure. A work-related call. Dinner? What are you wearing?" He skates narrowed eyes over me, like he's contemplating ripping the skin right off me. I can relate. I want to punch him in the face. Energy and anger is making the air almost sulfuric. The thing about Joshua is, even when he's furious, he's still exquisite to look at. Maybe even more so than usual. He's all glittery black eyes and an angry tensing jaw, messed up hair and a hand on his hip, pulling his blue shirt tight. It makes being angry back with him just that little bit harder, because I have to try to not notice. It's an unachievable endeavor that I've always struggled with, as long as I've known him. But still, I persevere. "You've got no right to lecture me.
I knew this was a disaster the second I got into your car. I kick off both my shoes across the room. I'm leaving soon. There's a bus. I grab at my bag and he stops me with a raised hand. In between Danny and Mindy, we've kind of had our fair share of jealous revelations today, don't you think? I'm going to crack if you don't just listen to me for once. He wrenches out his cufflinks and tosses them on the dresser and shoves up his sleeves, muttering to himself, "Little fucking asshole. What is she wearing? That guy's a fucking death wish." The expression on his face makes me wonder if I've got a death wish too. I try to position myself behind the armchair just to give myself the illusion of space, but he points between his leather shoes. "Don't hide. Get over here." This better be good. I cross the room to stand in front of him and put my hands on my hips just to puff myself up. He takes a few long moments to decide how to proceed. "Two simple issues first. Danny and Mindy." He looks like he's taking control of a board meeting. He practically has a presentation slide behind him. "Do you care about Danny? Could you love him one day?" Those eyes belong to the king of the serial killers. "I called Danny about something for work. Something to do with my interview." "You already knew this. Forgive me for not wanting to spill my secrets to the person I'm competing against." "Answer my question." "No and no. He's helping me with something I'm using in my presentation. It's a design job, and he's a freelancer now. He's doing me a massive favor working over the weekend, but I couldn't care less if I never saw him again." His insane eyes dialed down a few notches. "Well, I couldn't care less about Mindy. It's why she left me for my brother. You could have told me. Back in your apartment, on your couch, I would have tried to understand. We were almost friends then." I realize something else that's bothering me. He didn't trust me with this. "I finally have you coming over to sit on my couch, and you think I'm going to tell you about how I was such a terrible boyfriend, she ended up with my brother? It's not really a glowing endorsement of my character. Gee, wouldn't you want to stick around after hearing that?" I can spot the faint wash of darker color on his cheekbones. He's embarrassed as hell. "Why am I even here? Moral support, remember?" I watch him try and fail several times to start. "If anyone has broken my heart, it wasn't Mindy. It was my dad." He puts his hand over his face. "You were always right about why I needed moral support. No big conspiracy. It's medicine. Me quitting, failing, disappointing. You're here because I'm scared of my own fucking dad." "What did your dad do?" I can barely ask it. When I think of dads, I think of my own. A big, funny sonic boom since I was a kid, always surprising me with smurfs and beard-burned cheek kisses. I know there are bad dads. When I see the look on Josh's face, I wish to God he didn't have one. He's ignored me my entire life. It sounds like the first time he's spoken those words. He looks at the ground, miserable. I creep closer to him. Another weird kaleidoscopic twist. His hurt makes my own heart hurt. "Has he hit you? Has he forced you into medicine?" Josh shrugs. "The British royal family have an expression. The heir and the spare. I'm the spare. Patrick was first born. Dad's not one of those people who's willing to dilute his efforts, if you know what I mean. They were only ever planning on having one kid, too. I was a surprise." "You would have been wanted." I have his crumpled cuff in my hand now, and I give him an awkward little shake. "Look at how much your mom loves you." "But to Dad, I was not in the plan. Patrick has always been his focus, and look where he is now. The best son, effectively the only son, making Dad proud on his wedding day." He won't meet my eyes. We're mining some old, deep, painful territory here. Nothing I did rated a mention. Dad wouldn't pay a cent toward my tuition, but Mom did. I studied my ass off like a complete sucker for punishment. Nothing pleased him. The bitterness in his voice sounds like it is choking him. My anger has steamed out of my pores now, and I can't do anything but put my arms around him and hug until my arms ache. I thought if I could become a doctor too, maybe he'd notice you, just like his mom said. And meanwhile, perfect golden child Patrick, who can do no wrong, was making it look easy. The thing about Patrick is, he's so nice. He's so goddamn nice. He'll do anything for anyone. Even get up in the middle of the night and drive over to help me with you. Man, can he be any nicer? It makes it impossible for me to hate him. And I want to, so bad. He's your brother. I link my arm into his. It's obvious he'd do anything for you. There's a perfect son, and then there's me. I may as well be the best at something, even if it is being an asshole. I'll never be nice. You need to imagine what it was like growing up with a parent like him. I've had to make myself this way. I think of him stomping around at B&G, trying to hide his shyness and insecurity behind that mask. I hate to break it to you, Josh, but underneath it all, you're nice too. I've got no interest in being the second best at anything. I'm never being second again. His voice is ironclad with determination. I think of the promotion, and some deep part of my brain sighs, oh, fuck it. Is this why you've always hated me? I'm so nice. I'm way too nice, and you've always hated it. I tug the sleeve of my dress a little straighter. It killed me to watch you try your heart out for people who were using your kindness. It made me want to stand up for you and protect you from it. I couldn't, though, because you hated me, so I had to get you to stand up for yourself. And my niceness made it impossible to hate me? Hopefulness has rendered me pathetic. He puts a thumb under my chin and tilts my face. Yeah. Well, this is a sad story. When he kisses me on the cheek, I know it is an apology, and I suspect that I'll probably accept it. Don't get me wrong. I didn't have some traumatic childhood or anything. I always had a roof over my head and so forth. And my mother is the best, he says, affection in his tone now. I can't complain. Yes, you can. He looks at me, surprised. No one should ever be ignored or made to feel unimportant. You've achieved a lot of things in your career, and you should be proud of yourself. I emphasize the last word. You can complain all you want. I'm Team Josh, remember? Are you? I hear some of the tension melt out of him a little. I never thought I'd hear those words fall from your flamethrower lips. Not after tonight. You and me both. So you completed pre-med? Yes. I have no idea how I did it. It was the most insanely stressful thing I'd ever put myself through. How boggling. Dr. Josh, indeed. Well, surely your dad must have taken notice of you then. Mom made the biggest fuss ever. She threw a party. It seemed like everyone who'd ever known me was invited. It was at our house here. It's on the beach. I suppose it was a great party in retrospect, but Dad wasn't there.
He skipped it?
I hug him, resting my cheek on his chest. I feel his hands slide up my back, like he's soothing me.
Yeah. He didn't bother to swap shifts at the hospital like Mom had asked him to. He skipped it entirely. When Patrick completed pre-med, Dad gave him our grandfather's Rolex. For me, he couldn't even bother turning up. He's always known I wasn't cut out for it. Watching me try so hard made me pathetic.
So him not turning up to the party means you haven't spoken to your father properly for 5 years? You've got to see it's hurting your mom. She's got permanently sparkly eyes from trying not to cry.
That night I got incredibly drunk. I was sitting down there by myself on the sand by the water, emptying this bottle of whiskey into my mouth. Alone, melodramatic. Behind me is the house, filled with people, but no one had noticed the guest of honor was gone.
He looks a little amused, but I know underneath it is a deep hurt. I remember looking at him once in the team meeting, 1,000 years ago, and wondering if he ever felt isolated. I know the answer now. So you sat out there, drunk? What did you do? Go in and make a scene?
No, but I realized something I'd worked so hard for. His approval had resulted in absolutely no outcome. I'm like him, maybe. Why try? Why bother? I decided then and there to quit trying. I'd go and get the first job I could. He turns me a little in his arms, and when he holds me close again, he's rubbing my shoulder like I'm the one who needs comfort. I stopped making any kind of effort to engage with him, and it was like the biggest source of stress in my life was removed. I stopped. I thought, when he wants to be a father to me, he'll make the move. And he hasn't? Josh keeps talking like he hasn't even heard me. The thing that gets me is, when I switched to doing an MBA at night while working at Bexley, he was unimpressed. Like he'd had any kind of opinion. Like I wasn't even noticed or acknowledged enough to disappoint. But I have. Over and over, my entire life. My career is a joke to him. I'm surprised by how angry I'm getting. I think of Anthony, his face permanently twisted into a sarcastic expression. He's lost something special in you. Why is he like this? I don't know. If I knew, maybe I could change it. He's just been that way with me and most people. But Josh, this is what I don't get. You're so overqualified for what you do at BNG. We both are, he tells me. Why do you stay? Prior to the merger, I nearly quit every day. But I already had the family reputation as a quitter. And post-merger? He looks away, and I see the edge of his mouth beginning to curl in a smile. The job had a few good things about it. You enjoyed fighting with me too much. Yeah, he admits. How did you end up working at Bexley anyway? I applied for 20 jobs in a fit of rage. It was the first offer I got. Richard Bexley's lowly servant. You didn't even care. I wanted to work for a publisher so badly, I cried when I heard I'd got the job. He has the grace to look guilty. I suppose you'd think it was unfair if I got the promotion now. No. The process is based on merit. But Josh, you've got to know, it's my dream. B&G is my dream. He doesn't say anything. What could he say? So you really didn't bring me along to show Mindy you'd moved on with some hot little dweeb? I know his face better than my own, and I can't see a trace of a lie. When he speaks, there is none. I couldn't face him without you. I am an embarrassment. Dropped out of med school, administrative job, lost the girl to my brother. I'm nothing to him. Mindy and Patrick can have 10 children and be married for 100 years for all I care. Good luck to them. I let myself say it. Okay, I believe you. We sit in silence for a moment before he speaks again. The worst thing is, I keep wondering what I'd be now if I'd stuck with medicine. I've got so much inside me I have no idea about. I'm like the mayor of a city I've never seen. He smiles at my phrasing. If you knew the kind of little miracles happening every moment you breathe in, you wouldn't be able to handle it. A valve could close and not open. An artery could split. You could die. At any moment, it's nothing but miracles inside your tiny city. He presses a kiss to my temple. Holy shit. I clutch at him. You wouldn't believe the stats on people who go to bed one night and never wake up. Normal, healthy people who aren't even old. Why would you tell me this? Is this what you think about? There's the longest pause. I used to. Not so much anymore. I think I preferred it when I thought I was full of white bones and red goo. Why am I now thinking about dying tonight? Now you see why I can't do small talk. Sorry Dad scared you about the cake. He's jealous he can't let himself go enough to enjoy something. I don't think I've eaten cake in a few years. Man, it was good. Filthy little pigs, the pair of us. Want to go downstairs and see if there's any left? He looks at me with guarded hope. You're not leaving? I remember my plans to get the bus home. No, I'm not leaving. It's helpful he's still sitting on the dresser. It means when I step closer and take his face in my hands, I can reach him with only a little tiptoeing. It means I can feel the tingling sparks jumping in the air between our lips, his sigh of relief that tastes sweeter than sugar. His pulse jumps under my fingertips. It's a pretty convoluted game we've played to make it to this moment. It's helpful he's still sitting on the dresser, because I can pull his lips to mine. Chapter 25. When I kiss him, his exhalation is long, until he's surely completely empty. I want to fill him back up. I don't realize it until a few minutes of dreamy, melting minutes have passed that I've been talking to him with my kiss. You matter. You're important to me. This matters. I know that he understands because there is a fine tremor in his hands as he slides one fingernail up the side seam of my dress, across my shoulders, to my nape. He tells me things, too. You're who I want. You're always beautiful. This really matters. He toys with the zipper of my dress for a tiny, jingling eternity and then pulls it down. It makes a sound like a needle dragging across a record. He deepens the kiss, and I push closer in between his knees, and wild horses could not drag me away from this man and this room. I will kiss him until I die of exhaustion. When I feel the sharp edge of his teeth on my lips, I know I'm not alone in this. I let the dress drop and step out of it, bending to pick it up. Self-consciousness prevails, and I hide behind it a little, until I look so silly that I have no choice to hold it aside. I had to wear an ivory bodysuit under the dress, like a little swimsuit, to give it a smooth line, and it has little suspenders holding up my stockings. Sleepy Saurus, it ain't. Josh looks like he's been stabbed in the gut. Holy shit, he says faintly. I hand him the dress and put my hand on my hip. His eyes eat every line and curve of me, even as his hands neatly fold my dress in half. My legs are ridiculously short, and I don't have the benefit of my heels, but the way he looks at me makes my tiny knees weak. You've gone a bit quiet on me here, Josh. I slide my finger under the shoulder strap of this ridiculous thing I'm wearing, and pause. I see his throat swallow. I put my hands on his neck, squeeze briefly in a strangle, then slide them down. He's so solid, heavy, the heat radiating from within the muscles flexing under my palms. I step in closer and put my face into his throat and breathe him in. I close my eyes and beg myself to remember this. Please remember this when you're 100 years old. His hands slide down my waist to take my butt in both hands, and when I begin to kiss his throat, he squeezes me tighter. Shirt off. Come on now. My voice is rough and cajoling. He begins unbuttoning his shirt, looking dazed. When he shrugs out of the shirt, I can see his back in the reflection of the dresser mirror. You've still got paintball bruises. I do too. My free hand is groping along his chest, and I break off the kiss to watch myself do it. The muscles are all stacked together like Legos. I press my fingertips to watch his flesh give. His hands haven't moved from my ass, but his fingertips have slid down to stroke the little ribbons holding up my stockings. To stop myself from making an embarrassingly loud moan, I kiss him again, wriggling closer to him. I had it all planned. He finally finds his voice again, moving me backwards smoothly to the bed. He hauls the coverlid away and lays me back against the sheets with easy strength. It was going to be a little more romantic than a hotel room. Josh, thinking about romance? My heart can't take it. He captures my mouth in a kiss, and it's so gentle I could cry. See, he says into my mouth, I don't hate you, Lucy. His tongue touches mine, tentative, shy. He drops himself down on his elbows, caging me with his biceps, and it triggers the memory of him pressing me against a tree, shielding me, covering me. I was always covering for you. I sigh, and he breathes it in. That's it. I stretch and wriggle underneath his weight. You're so big. It gets me hot. And you're so tiny. It makes me wonder about all the ways we'll fit together. It's all I've been thinking about since the day we met.
Oh, sure. The momentous day you looked at me head to toe, then out the window.
He's giving my throat the softest bites imaginable. He slides his fingers into mine above our heads, and we're now holding hands. How did we get back here? To this tender place after the blaze of anger burned us both up. It's so sweet, so completely soft and gentle and...
Josh, if we do this tonight, I'm not going to let you get weird on me.
His eyes are solemn as he braces himself up a little.
Are you going to have one of your infamous freakouts?
I don't know. Very possibly. I try for a joke, but he's not remotely amused.
I wish I knew how much I have of you. How much do I get?
He's kissing me on the throat again, fingers tightening on mine.
Until the interviews, you get it all,
I say into his skin, and he lets out a shaky breath, like I've offered him forever, not a few days. We begin kissing again, and the friction of my thigh against his groin is spurring him into a slightly heavier rhythm. His mouth is wet, soft, delicious. The moment he stops, even to take a proper breath, I tug him back. After an eternity, he tangles his hand in the strap on my shoulder. He runs it lasciviously through his fingers, pulling it taut, releasing it with the faintest snap, and then does it again.
The zip's at the side, I tell him.
Technically, I think I begged him. He ignores me completely and instead slides his finger down to the bow between my breasts.
The smallest bow I've ever seen.
He dips his head and bites it.
We're going so slowly. I wouldn't be surprised to open my eyes and see daylight.
He's always completely different from what I expect. Soft instead of hard. Slow instead of fast. Shy instead of brash. My previous boyfriends and any of their egg timer foreplay attempts are distant memories now that I'm experiencing the intense pleasure of lying underneath Josh. He slides a hand into my hair, and the scrape of his nails against my scalp makes my skin break into goosebumps. He licks them. He coils up smoothly to kneel between my feet, seemingly just for a better view. It works for me. I watch his stomach flex, and I make a sound like, "Ugh."
How do you even look like this?
I don't have anything better to do than go to the gym.
You do now.
I sit up too and drag my mouth across the muscles, and I do what I've always wanted to. I get my hands on his ass, and it is fabulous. His hands slide into my hair, and I begin making out with his stomach. I can't help myself. I find a little bit of hair and look up to see he's got a light dusting on his chest, in a line down, disappearing beyond the waistband of his suit pants.
Horny eyes, he tells me shakily.
No kidding. I want to snort you. You always smell amazing. I press my nose into his skin and breathe in as hard as I can, and he begins to laugh. I look up at him and grin. His fingers are resting on the zip at my side. I'm completely covered in bruises, I say by way of a disclaimer. I suck my stomach in, looking at his abs.
You're cute when you get shy. I'll go slow.
He eases one strap down, lets it rest against my arm. He does the same with the other one. He bites his lip.
I'm going to sit down. I feel too tall.
There's a brief reshuffle when he leans against the headboard, and I settle between his legs and rest back against him. His hands spread over my shoulders, and my eyes close as he begins to rub. The sweetest, most strangely timed massage. Most men would be unzipping and feeling by now, but he's not most men.
You sat like this when you were sick.
He continues to massage, the friction between us blooming outward. He scoops my hair away and presses his mouth on the side of my neck. I'll barely be able to remember my own name at this rate. He slides his hand into the satin and weighs my bare breast in his hand. Slowly, gently, his fingers pinch.
Oh, yeah, He groans and presses his mouth back to my neck. I hear the sound I make, the kind of harsh intake people usually make from extreme pain, except I feel like I'm halfway to orgasm. Imagine all the things we're going to do, he says, almost to himself. I don't want to imagine. I want to know. My feet are scrambling uselessly against the sheets, like I'm being electrocuted. You will. But tonight isn't enough. I can already feel it. I've always told you, I need days. Weeks. I barely notice the zipper sliding down. He's easing me out of the stretchy satin because the feeling of his big palms smoothing over me is sublime. I'm being coddled and patted, skin warmed, everything admired. When I manage to open my eyes, his breath is steaming hot underneath my ear and the cream fabric is puddled at my waist. He unclips my stockings and leans over my shoulder to look at me. Mmm. He hooks his fingers into the sides of the fabric at my hips, tugs it down my legs, and I'm naked except for my stockings. I see the leg of his suit pants, which makes my nudity feel even more vulnerable. I bring my knees up, trying to hide myself, but there's no point. He makes kind, soothing sounds against the back of my ear. His huge hand strokes down my hip, my thigh, then clasps my waist. The other hand follows suit. Lucy, is all he can seem to say. Lucy, how am I going to walk away from tonight? Seriously. How? I get goosebumps. I'm wondering the same thing. I let my head drop to one side and we kiss. I'm hoarse and breathless. I'm gonna die tonight. Please take your pants off. I want that embroidered on a pillow, he says, and I laugh until I'm gasping. You're so funny. I've always thought so. I could never laugh, but I wanted to. Ah, so that's one of your rules. He slides off the bed, hand on the button at his waistband. So the aim of the game is to not laugh. The aim is to make the other person laugh. Come on. I'm getting cold. I'm getting impatient, more like. He pulls the sheets and blankets over me when I shiver, and I watch him like a lecherous creep as he manages to ease the zip down on his pants. I have my own rules, and the aim of the game is different for me. Watching Josh take off a pair of suit pants is on another level. He's in these stretchy black trunks. They're badly bent out of shape in front. Do tell. Come on. He slides those shorts down, and my mouth drops open. Seems that even my fevered imagination was woefully inadequate. I'm about to tell him that he is glorious when he snaps the lamp and we are plunged into darkness. No! Josh, that's absolutely not fair. Light on. I want to look at you. I flail my arm at the lamp, but when he slides into the blankets and I register the warmth of his body against mine, we make identical sounds of disbelief. Skin to skin. The heat of it. I have no idea where he is precisely. He's all over me. I think I feel his breath in my hair, but we roll a little, and when he sighs, it's down near my ribcage. It's disconcerting and erotic, and I nearly jolt out of my skin when he slides one hand across my ribs. Another hand is dispensing with my stockings, smoothing down my legs. He's touching my ankle and gently pinching at the little curve of my waist. I've got hands sliding all over me. You're so soft, it's ridiculous. Everywhere my hand slides, you fit me. I was so right. He demonstrates. Throat, breast, ribs, hips. Then he shows me his mouth fits perfectly, too. My skin heats with every kiss and press. He licks at the sheen of sweat beginning to mist across me, and I hear a faraway sound that I realize is me. Whimpering, begging noises. He takes no notice and shows no pity. He presses his perfect mouth on whatever section of skin he pleases. Inch by inch, he is charting me like a map. Which is all very well, except that Josh has a body that I need to get my hands on. When he's partway through traversing the upper curve of my spine, my pleading whispers begin to wear him down. Please let me touch you. He relents and rolls me over, and I run my hands down his neck to the big muscles at the tops of his arms. I squeeze, I bite. I use both hands to stroke down one bicep, weighing the muscle in my hand. It's such a pleasure.